You know, New Year's Day, I made a resolution, and 3 hours later, I broke it. I mean, I've about given up on that, to tell you the truth, but it does remind me. You know, it seems like it's the same problem. Most of us have. We make this vow the first of the year that we say, okay, this year I'm going to set aside time for prayer. I'm going to have, you know, time to spend with God. And then it starts out real well, and then what happens? It doesn't work, right? So I want you to imagine this. Now, I have to tell you, women, you'll have a harder time imagining this than the men, but that's okay. You've got good imaginations because I know you. Let's say that you're outside and you're playing basketball with the neighborhood kids. Well, not really playing very hard. You're kind of watching, right? And LeBron James comes by. Now, do we know who LeBron is? We do, don't we? Don't most of you do, right? And he's watching you play. And he comes up to you and he says, Trevor, Amanda, Marilyn, Linda, Johnny, you're the perfect person. I have watched you play, and I know maybe you're not your best now, but you are the one that can help lead the Cleveland Cavaliers next year to another victory. And he's that, hallelujah, right? You know? We've determined you are that person. Well, this is kind of a surprise to you. Because in the last 10 years, probably the hardest workout you've done is to go into the refrigerator, get that snack during the Super Bowl, you know? And so you think, well, the shock passes. And then what do? You start picturing yourself as this great basketball star, right? You're getting all these millions. You've got endorsements. You're on TV and everything about you. Dream big. This is what it's going to be like. The crowds are calling your name. They're saying Jack and Peg. You're up there, and then you really believe it. This is a game I can play. I got a purpose in my life, right? And that's all you think about. And you think about it, and you think of it, and then it dawns on you. You can't even play 10 minutes with the kids. All right. And so if you're serious, though, about working with LeBron, what do you got to do? You have to go into a training program, hopefully better than the lady on the video, right? That will, because you will to be this great basketball player like LeBron, is that going to happen? Of course not. I've tried that with dieting. It doesn't work. You know, you can't will yourself into dieting. But, you know, training's not only for athletes. And I like to talk about this in the first year because this is when we're usually thinking about getting in shape, right? Training is actually required for any significant change in your life to learn anything, whether it's learning the trombone or learning to sing or learning a new language. And guess what? Training's also required for spiritual growth. But I think most of us are kind of couch potatoes when it comes to spiritual growth, right? You know, we always keep changing the channels to say, well, what's the latest thing that maybe that'll work for me? Because anybody ever feel like they failed at spiritual growth? Failed to get that extra prayer in their life, whatever it would be, you know? But here's the thing I've learned about spiritual growth. It doesn't mean vowing or having the willpower to say, I'm going to pray more, I'm going to give more to the poor, I really am going to come to church every Sunday, even though it feels awfully good to sleep in, you know? Because we know what happens with those goals. They sound good, you mean to do it, but I'm going to tell you something differently today. What I want you to do is start beginning to think of Jesus as your coach that will put you on a training program, and then start thinking, instead of changing my life, how can I arrange my life so that the activities that I focus on and how I focus on them will change and transform me? So let me give you an example of that. For example, let's just say you're a stay-at-home mom. There's some stay-at-home moms here, right? Now, raising children is not easy to do, right, Amanda? We know. It certainly isn't easy to do. So what about, though, if you determine that your way of worship God would be to get up every morning and you're going to pray to God to help you make it through the day, and certainly with children, sometimes you need that, right? And you say, God, just help me be more compassionate. Help me to listen better. Help me not to get mad at them, but help me be the very best mom I have. And throughout the day, whenever it seems like it's a challenging time, you just remember to pray. Because taking care of your children that way, with the focus on saying, you know, these are God's children that I'm raising, and I'm going to focus on how do I make them the most responsible, God-loving children that I can, is a way of focusing your life and focusing your prayer life, right? So let's say that the other thing is that maybe you're a prison guard. I don't know if anybody here is a prison guard, but that's a really hard thing to do, right? What if your focus of your life as a prison guard was to be as compassionate and loving to the prisoners that are sitting there? And I know what you're thinking. They don't deserve that, or they certainly won't be that way back. And no, they won't. But what if your focus is, for once in your life, that you are the person that will show them what God's like? That you will care for them lovingly. Doesn't mean you don't do your duties, but what's the focus? The focus is not that they're bad, bad people. The focus is they're God's children, and how do I help them to learn to love God like I do? Because I found there's only really one thing in my life that changes me, and what's that? Who's that? Okay, good. You are paying attention, right? You could be stacking cans at a food pantry and rearranging that food pantry, and you know what? That can get a little monotonous. But what if the focus of your life, that focus that day, is that you're going to pray for every can that you touch, and you're going to pray that God touches the life of everybody that receives one of those cans at the food pantry? Could that make a difference in somebody's life, you know? Perhaps that's why God put you there. You might be the only person that day that ever prays for that person. And you did so by focusing your prayer life on stacking cans of food at the food pantry. Or how about every time you hand a piece of music to a new student? It's a form of prayer to say that God is with you in your singing. God's given you this wonderful gift. You know, every season of our life, no matter what we're doing, is an opportunity to be in training for God. You know, it seems like to me that when we're younger, if there's one thing that's going to stand in our way, it's lack of time, right? Isn't that it? When you're trying to run with the kids, or you're doing a job, or you're going to school, whatever it is, there's just not time for God, right? And you think, when I get older, I'm going to have a really good prayer life. Guess what? Doesn't happen, right? Because what happens when you get older? I can tell you what happens when you get older. You get kind of complacent. You think, you done there, done that, don't have to do it. God knows that I love God. I don't have to do it. So we stop growing. We stop changing. But the thing is, God doesn't quit trying to change you. So we never see. And the good news, though, that I'm trying to tell you is this, that no two athletes train alike. Some people, maybe they like to watch TV and watch a particular program with a sermon. Sometimes that's helpful, isn't it? Some people really do like to get up at 4 in the morning and pray. It's not me. But there are other people that do, and that's how they find their prayer life. Other people pray when they're driving. I've seen their driving. It's a good idea. What we do know is there is no one size fits all. That's why we were talking about spiritual types earlier in the year. You know, somebody that's meditative is never going to pray the same way that somebody that's into social justice is out there changing the world. They'll never have the same type of spiritual growth. But they can have spiritual growth, you know. God has a unique plan for you, and that simply means that there's a way that God can transform you through your life. But it's all about focus. And that's what the stars are trying to tell us today. And that's why I wanted to use this particular scripture about the wise men, you know, because there's two different stars that are in today's reading. There's the star of Herod, is there not? What Herod's looking for. And there's the star that the wise men are looking for. Now, Herod is looking for his own star, is he not? He wants to be a star in his life, and he'll do anything that he can. In fact, he did. He killed anybody that got in his way in order to get where he wanted. That's a star of blind ambition, right? We've talked about that before. That's what he had, you know? And we can tell ourselves, well, I'd never do that. Well, maybe you didn't physically murder anybody, but I don't know. I have to admit to the fact that sometimes when I look back on my life, I wonder if there aren't a few bodies that I slayed along the way when I was trying to get ahead, whether it be with lies or trying to one-up somebody else or not quite tell everything I should have told about something, right? Perhaps to use somebody in a way that I shouldn't have. I find that about myself. Maybe you can see yourself in that. But there's another path. You could have thrown a few bodies. They might have been your children or your grandchildren or a spouse that you just flat didn't have time for, because where was your focus? It was on that job. It was making more money. You say it's to take care of my family, but is it really? Because we can get so blind in that way that we kill relationships that we want. And you know what? There's relationships that we kill just because we have this need to control. We have to control our world, which is actually pretty funny, because you can't. There's no way to do that. But Herod thought he could. Herod would do anything, you know? And what did Herod get at the end of his life, do you know? Disease and misery. Disease and misery. But on the other hand, we had the wise men. And what star were the wise men following? They were following God's star, right? They were going to worship the newborn king. So their star was continually taking them towards worship. Now, worship isn't just being here today, is it? What are other modes of worship that we can do? There's prayer, singing, right? Being quiet, walking in nature. Lots of ways that you can have worship of God throughout the day. But what do you remember what the scripture says? What do the wise men find at the end of the journey? Do you remember? I could ask Mary, but she might not remember. They found, it says very clearly, they found joy. They found joy at the manger. And when we follow God's lighted path, it's not this empty place at the end of our life, which has regrets and wishes we would have done this. It's joy and it's happiness. And what of all things do we seek in this life? Isn't it joy? Isn't it happiness? But you know, we won't ever see that star if we're blinded by the other stars that we're chasing in our life. You know? And we won't keep following the star if we're not doing what? Training and working out. So this is a decision I like to put in front of you for the next couple of weeks. Are you going to continue to be your own star? And most of us have that inclination to be our own star, and that's what we follow. Are you going to start following God's star? So if you're going to start following God's star, then you need to take your own unique training program. For example, every morning, when you put on your clothes, put on the clothes of God's grace and say, my focus today will be how many people will see God through me today. And then when you get home at night, when you take off your clothes, you also take off your day and you say this, pat yourself on the back. Thank you, God, for the places that I did well. And then you say, God, help me tomorrow with what I do, that when I put my clothes on, maybe I follow that star a little better. This year, make that resolution that the star you're following in your life is God's star. As the worship team comes forward, I'm going to ask that you join me, that you don't join me, that you just pray with me. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for all the blessings that I have in my life. Today, I make that resolution that this will be that year that I go into training. This is the year that I focus my life on becoming that person that you created to be, following your star in my life. Help me each day to view all my activities through your eyes and not mine, and to perform in the way that you would have them do it. Help me to be more loving. Help me to be more compassionate with everyone. I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You know, just as the wise men sought the star, one of the things that I can remember from the easiest passage to remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God. It doesn't say find everything else, but just as the wise men sought that star, we need to seek that kingdom. And then, of course, as it says, all these things will be added. So long as we're seeking that thing, we're making that our vision, that love, everlasting love that he has for us will be there. And everything else will be taken care of.